Think of why the Israelites had to wander for 40 years. They had little faith in God and what they could accomplish with God on their side. I think this rule is an amazing place to start with this study. It's important to remember that as Christians, we are children of the King, and we are on God's side, or at least we should be striving to be on God's side. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, Jesus tells us all things are possible with God. So be courageous in this world as a Christian. Stand up straight with your shoulders back, because you are a child of God. Treat yourself like someone you are responsible for helping. I'm sure most of you have been on a plane before. I went on a plane again about the beginning of this month, and like always, they went over their classic spiel of there's life jackets under the seat. When you're in the water, the light will flash. There's exits on either side. But then they go into oxygen masks. They say oxygen masks will fall from the ceiling. And what are the other instructions they give with that? Well, they say, secure yours first before you help someone else with theirs. Why? Well, it's pretty obvious. You can't really help someone when you're dead or passed out. Jesus gave us the Great Commission. He told us to go to all corners of the earth and spread the gospel. However, how can we do that properly if our own faith isn't strong, if our oxygen mask isn't secured? Matthew chapter 15, verse 14, Jesus says, leave them alone. They are blind guides of blind people. And if a person who is blind guides another who is blind, both will fall into a pit. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 through 16, Paul tells Timothy to be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a worker who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth, but avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. To spread the gospel more effectively and more efficiently, we need to continually build our faith in all that we do. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Only then can we take part in spreading the gospel properly. Third, compare yourself to who you were yesterday, not to who someone else is today. I assume you've most likely heard the popular phrase, comparison is the thief of joy. And the Bible backs up this phrase a lot. Galatians chapter 6, verse 4, but each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting, but to himself alone and not to another. We may look at another Christian, and we think to ourselves, wow, this person has it together. They know their Bible front and back. Why can't I be a Christian like him or like her? Why can I have my life together like her? What's important to remember that we see through the eyes of man. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 6, or chapter 16, sorry. That's 1 Samuel chapter 16. I want to read verses 6 through 7 for you. Before I do that, I want to explain some context of what's going on here. So the Lord just came to Samuel, and he said, look, I have picked out the anointed king of Israel. He's at the house of Jesse. He's one of the sons of Jesse. Go to the house of Jesse, and I will show you who it is. So Samuel did just that. He went to the house of Jesse, and that's where we pick up here. 1 Samuel 16, 6 through 7 says, when they entered, he looked at Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is standing before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God does not see as man sees, since man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Only God knows the heart of man. Focus on yourself and on your own standing with God, we know how the story goes afterwards. He goes through all the sons, and he thanks each one. He's like, oh, no, this is the one, because they're all tall, good-looking men who look like kings. He goes through all the sons, and he goes to Jesse. He's like, okay, it's none of them. Do you have any other sons? Jesse says, well, yeah, there's another one. He's in the back tending his sheep, though. Samuel says, well, bring him in. That's the one. That's the anointed one. And then from there, we know King David, a man after God's own heart, one of the most popular kings in Israel's history. So, I encourage you to think of the Christian that you were yesterday. Improve upon that. Don't compare yourself to another Christian who may seem superior to you because you see through the eyes of man. The only person we should ever, ever compare ourselves to, no matter how hard and difficult it is, because it is difficult, is Christ. Assume that the person you are listening to knows something that you don't. If you were to know me personally, you wouldn't guess it, but when I was little, I had a problem with talking too much. Now I'm a bit more quiet in a crowded room, but back then, I liked to hear my own voice, and my dad had something he would say to me all the time. He would tell me, God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason. At the time, I simply thought this was my dad's clever way of telling me to shut up, which it probably was. But looking back on it, I also think he was trying to teach me a lesson. A lesson that I've learned more and more as I've gotten older, that you can learn way more by just listening instead of wanting to insert yourself or talk so much. The Bible doesn't shy away from this. James chapter 1 and verse 19, James says, you know this, my beloved brothers and sisters. Now everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Proverbs 18:13 says, one who gives an answer before he hears, it is foolishness and shame to him. And most importantly, hearing is the central aspect to salvation. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So how can we grow our faith? How can we learn the word of God and even be saved if we're just too quick to speak all the time? There's so much more to learn from God's word by simply listening. Set your house in perfect order before you criticize the world. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. This is Jesus speaking. He says, do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and look, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye. Then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So there are two subjects I'd like to focus on here. The log and the speck. The speck in someone's eye is something we notice about someone else, perhaps a flaw in their character. It's something we see and we think, wow, I'm glad I don't have that problem, while simultaneously ignoring the log protruding out of our own eye. The log in our eye symbolizes a large, sometimes more glaring flaw in one's own character. Whether that be moral failure, unresolved pain, or spiritual blindness of some type. Jesus warns against hypocritical judgment, a kind of judgment that isn't rooted in love, it's not rooted in truth, but rather in self-righteousness and pride. So before we look at the problems of someone else's life, judging them for it, Let's look at our own problems. Let's try to judge ourselves. We need to recognize the log that's jammed in our own eye before we criticize someone else about a speck in theirs. Finally, pursue what is meaningful, not what is expedient. As Christians, we need to seek our meaning over expedience. And more importantly, obedience over convenience. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, Jesus, per usual, is our greatest example in what it means to value obedience over convenience. I'll go ahead and read that for you. That's Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, and he said, if you are the Son of Man, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again the devil took him up onto an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Christ showed this trait of obedience over convenience through his entire life on earth. From the temptation that I just read to you, to praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he asked God to take this cup from him. But in the end, we know what Christ did. We know he went on that cross willingly, because he knew what he had to do. We sing a song that says he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. And throughout our lives, it may seem better to take the easier path. Jesus could have taken that path. He could have called those 10,000 angels, but he didn't. And like that, we are called to take the hard path sometimes. Multiple Christians in the Bible took hard paths. Paul was constantly thrown in jail or beaten and humiliated in some way, all because he was trying to spread the gospel. Stephen was martyred for talking about Jesus. Christ himself was put to death for our salvation. We're incredibly blessed to live in a country today where we may not have to face the fear of being killed or being thrown in jail for our belief. But we do still face the backlash of the world. And we still face sin. And sin is what drives us from God. Sin is the easier path, and sin is convenience. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is narrow and the way is constricted that leads to life, and there are few who find it. So, pray to God to triumph over sin, to triumph over convenience, and to learn obedience. Obedience to God's good and perfect will. So, this morning what I've gone over with you, I've gone over standing up straight with your shoulders back. Be courageous like Joshua, because we're on God's side. Treat yourself like someone you are responsible for helping. Before helping someone with their fate, make sure your faith is secured. Compare yourself to who you were yesterday and not to who someone else is today. Comparison really is the thief of joy. Not everyone is as put together as it may seem to your eyes. Focus on yourself. Assume that the person you're listening to knows something that you don't. Hearing is the first step to salvation. Without hearing the gospel, we're lost. Set your house in perfect order before you criticize the world. Judgment is dangerous, and it leads to a multitude of sins. Take care of your problems. Take care of your sins before you berate or gossip about someone else. And finally, pursue what is meaningful and not what is expedient. Obedience over convenience will always win. These are things that we can add to our everyday Christian lives. But, you know, maybe you're here this morning, you haven't begun a Christian life yet. Or maybe you just need the help from fellow Christians navigating some of these rules for your own faith. If that's the case, I know everyone in here would be more than happy to help you. If you want to begin a Christian life, or if you need help, I invite you to please come forward as we stand and sing.